Welcome to the Everyday Innovator Podcast for product managers and innovators. Your host is Chad McAllister, helping product managers become product masters. Listen and get ready to take your career to the next level, for the doctor is in.
Hi, this is Chad. I want to remind you of a webinar that Charles Du is facilitating this Wednesday, March 29th. Charles was my guest last week and was discussing a topic I frequently get asked about. How does someone become a product manager and get into product management? He is having a webinar for us to continue discussing the topic. To register for the webinar, go to productcharles.com/EIP331. He chose EIP for Everyday Innovator Podcast, so it's productcharles.com/EIP331. And of course, that link will be in the show notes for this episode, which is at theeverydayinnovator.com/117. And you might notice I sound a little bit stuffy. I'm recovering from a cold and some general sickness lately. So hopefully be on the mend here, feeling better soon. But for this upcoming discussion, I expect you're going to find it really valuable. I took notice when Pitney Bowes created a product management council, and I wanted to learn what they are doing with this council. Anytime an organization puts a focus on their product development and management capability, I expect good things to come of it. And that's because products are the revenue engine of organizations. And the better job we as product managers and innovators can do creating products that provide customers value, the better it is for our organization. To find out about this focus that Pitney Bowes has placed on product, I spoke with Felicia Anderson. She is the Senior Director of Product Management Council and Launch Management at Pitney Bowes. She helps product managers build their skills to increase product launch success and deliver greater business impact. I hope you enjoy the discussion as much as I did. Hi, Felicia. Thank you so much for joining the Everyday Innovator Podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
You are one of my favorite types of guests, which is you were a listener to the podcast, and then I found out about the kind of work you're doing and went, oh, you'd be a great guest to be on the podcast too. So I appreciate you being part of the listening community of Everyday Innovators and also joining us today.
Absolutely.
You have some really interesting experiences that led you to Pitney Bowes not all that long ago, and you're at Pitney Bowes in this role of the Product Management Council director, which is what I want to dive into a little bit. But just give us some context on Pitney Bowes. What is the business of Pitney Bowes these days?
Well, Pitney, we help our clients combine both physical technologies and digital technologies to conduct commerce. So as we like to say, we're the craftsmen of commerce.
The craftsmen of commerce. Pitney Bowes has been around, what, I think like 90 years. Yeah. You know, I remember my first engineering job out of college, we had in our little... You know, the room, I don't even know what you call this, I guess the mail room, right? We were a small group, but the place where we mailed everything from, the little Pitney Bowes meter. And this is how you got postage onto an envelope, which was so cool because you'd have to go to the post office. And I thought, how does this thing work that you can buy postage ahead of time? And this was intriguing to me. And that's kind of my view of Pitney Bowes. And when I was looking at your website and just kind of getting some background, when you talk about commerce, there are these other dimensions involved too, like providing data to help businesses do a better job of marketing to their customers.
Yeah, actually we do. You're exactly right. We started kind of in that area, and a lot of people know us from the mail meter business. Uh-huh. But we've expanded out, and we now see commerce as sort of five steps to commerce. Identify is the first step, where if you're selling something or you're trying to sell something, you have to identify your prospects. Hmm. Then we locate the prospects. So you find some information about them. A piece of that may be their geography, but also other pieces of information. Communicate is the next step we see, which is you want to get the right information at the right time to that potential buyer to help them in the buying journey. The shipping, which obviously is where a lot of people mm-hmm. have experience with us, and then even the payment. So we have information about the billing, the amount it's going to cost, including tariffs and so forth, and even financing in some cases for the payment of it. So we see this whole spectrum now of the commerce cycle, and we actually have expanded to include solutions in all those five areas.
Very good. So I appreciate that context a little bit. As you said, I'm sure there's other listeners like me who think of Bitneybos as the postage metering company, and it really has expanded. And part of that must be some drive towards a new focus on innovation, I'm assuming, which is the connection with this product management council, which I think just started, 2016, over the summer, that kind of time frame?
Yeah, that is the time frame, in the summertime last summer.
Can you share the charter, the purpose of that council?
Yeah, our focus, our vision is to help our product managers increase their capabilities so that they can have a greater business impact. So we really believe product management is essential to fueling the growth of the company and increasing the innovation that we're able to bring to market.
I like that. So the greater business impact of the product management team. Has there been a strong emphasis on product management at Bitneybos?
Historically, it's clearly product management has been important, and we had a broad set of product managers. Mm-hmm. I think at Pitney and in other places, product management is often distributed throughout the organization. And what we're trying to do with this product management council initiative is to bring that together so that we see each other as a community and we have a place to have a voice jointly.
Okay. Were there some events, some things that were going on that kind of led up to the creation of this council? So your background is you started in this role, you joined Bitneybos in this role. So you may not have the full context there, but I'm just curious. So you kind of just alluded to that product management was maybe in different business units, and this was an effort to kind of unify the actions. What was that? What was the context pre-council? What were the things that kind of brought this together?
Right. I guess it was about last spring, which was before I had joined. Our CEO was talking to his executive team, and he asked the question, who's responsible for the care and feeding of the product management, product managers, product management group? Hmm. And because they are distributed in the BUs and even in the lines of business within the BUs, there wasn't really a single person or a single set of people who were responsible for the care and feeding of product management. And as a result of those discussions and discussions that ensued came this idea of establishing a product management council.
So that it had official visibility in the organization, sounds like, and someone taking care of product managers and how we're effectively using them in the organization. And I suspect part of that means, what are their skills and how can we just help everyone do a better job?
Exactly.
So my path actually to product management came through project management. And the lines blurred a lot for me because I was doing product management work as a project manager and just didn't really recognize that this thing called product management existed for a long time, which apparently happens to a lot of us. And so I'm kind of used to that project management background, and large organizations will often put in a project management office, a PMO, to help unify what's going on under project management. And when I first saw what was going on with the council, I kind of made that leap. I thought, well, this sounds a lot like a PMO for product managers. And I don't know if that's really the case or not. How is the council structured?
Well, yeah, in our case, it's not exactly like that. We do have a PMO that handles certain processes that product teams go through, and that exists already. But the Product Management Council initiative is separate from that. So there are really two pieces to the Product Management Council initiative. One is the product management leadership team.
Okay.
So that's our executive sponsors and basically the leaders of each of the five BUs, the most senior person in each of the five BUs that have product management under them, and some other key stakeholders. So we have a product management leadership team of about 22 people, mm-hmm. and we meet monthly and discuss the issues that are at top of mind regarding product management. That's one piece. The second piece, of course, is the broader community itself. It's the 200 or 225 people throughout the organization that comprise the product management community. And most of them are product managers. That's product managers and their management, but also related stakeholders. So we have 30 or 35 people from marketing, your product marketing managers as well, and some other key stakeholders like learning and development and HR. So we have about 225 members of the product management community. And together, these two pieces comprise the product management community initiative.
Okay. So we have the leadership team, and you said they meet once a month to discuss kind of top of mind issues. Can you share any examples of what those are? You know, what has come up kind of top of mind? I'm just curious, what are the key things that that leadership team is dealing with?
Well, yeah, each year or each period, we agree at the top level there, what are our focus areas? So obviously we have a broad set of product managers and they're dealing with a broad set of issues and focus areas. But as a team, we want the program to have some focus and some structure. Mm-hmm. And so we happened to do a time allocation survey recently. And so we looked at the survey of what are our PMs spending time on? What are they saying they want to spend more time on, combined with our experience of how the product teams are doing. And then we, for instance, picked the focus areas for this coming year.
I'm curious if you heard the same thing, which I often hear from product managers, and it tends to show up in the surveys too, which is we all want to spend more time on understanding the customer, right? It seems like there's these fires that come up in our lives that draw our attention away from where we really want to have our emphasis, which is what's that customer problem? How do we provide them value?
Yes, that was definitely one of the areas. We asked them, you know, what do you feel the most, what are the areas that you feel you provide the most value in? Mm-hmm. And then what are the areas you'd like to do less of? And what are the areas you'd like to do more of? Well, our product managers, by and large, do indeed feel understanding their customers, understanding the market is one of the areas they provide the most value in. And however, when we asked how much time they're spending on it, they're not spending as much time as they feel they should. And it's an area where they want to spend more time. So very consistent with your experience.
Yeah, good to hear. When it comes to that structure, so yeah, that monthly meeting with the leaders, what other kinds of events or programs have you put in place to help with this council?
Yeah, so I get your point. As a member of the community, what does the program feel like? So we have different components. Probably the gemstone of it is once a year we get all of our product managers, in fact, everybody in the product management community, in person, face-to-face for a two-day meeting. And we just happened to have that PM summit last week. So we had our first annual PM summit last week. So that's a very visible, very impactful piece of the program.
And since you brought that up, we have to hear some highlights. What was shared at that two-day summit? What were you trying to accomplish?
Well, we definitely got some feedback beforehand, but we did have these focus areas. So we had some fantastic external speakers sharing some best practices. Mm-hmm. We had some internal speakers sharing case studies. And we had a good deal of interactive sessions because one of the things we really wanted to foster is cross-BU, cross-team interaction. Mm-hmm. We've got about 150 product managers in the company. And with that many, you simply can't know all of your peers. You know the people maybe in your business unit or the people managing products that your product integrates with. But there are so many cool things going on in other parts of the company that we had a lot of activities where we were trying to mix people together, mm-hmm. where they could talk about their products and share information and brainstorm on things they might want to do.
That opportunity to build collaboration is so important, and I give you great credit for bringing that summit together to make that happen. As you know, as we've talked before, I do these, what I call the integrated study groups for companies at times, mm-hmm. and it's virtual training that takes place over a few weeks for the product managers and product teams to really dive into some concepts. And what I find that comes out of those so often is people from, you know, one aspect of product management in one area of the company are interacting with people in another aspect, and they hear things that they have never heard before. That they hear about one team doing something that sounds valuable that they've never thought about. And there's just so much learning, not just about the concepts and how to apply them where they work, but about what's already going on and working inside the company.
Well, exactly. And we've already gotten some feedback about how that was a powerful part of being face-to-face for 2 days with peers. So that's one of the key values we want to get out of our PM summits.
And is there plans for a second annual summit here?
Oh, absolutely. It will be an annual event. We had a half-day kind of warm-up summit in the fall, in September, but then that was to prepare us for this one in February, and we will repeat this annually. Like I said, it's kind of the gemstone or the capstone of the PMCI initiative that we're doing. Mm-hmm. But there's more.
I was going to say, are there other events going on here? I don't know if you're doing a monthly thing or lunch and learn things or something.
Yes, we absolutely do. We have a monthly PM community call. So this is like a WebEx or conference call. And the main focus of those areas are we share internal experiences, case studies, both success stories and also lessons learned. So we foster a little bit of that cross-team communication in those meetings. And we also highlight resources that are available to the product management teams that product managers can use as they expand their products. So we have a lot of shared services, and not all the product managers have detailed information. So we have a team, for instance, that would do usability studies for product teams. And it's a great service that we have within the company, but not all the product managers were aware of the details of the service or how they get connected. That's just an example where we show resources they can use, and we highlight those on the monthly meetings.
Very good. Part of those resources, like one of the questions I get a lot from listeners is, what are the tools product managers are using? Which is frankly an episode I need to dive into here pretty soon. But is that part of the shared resources too, just to be aware of, you know, here's the suite of tools that we like to use?
Yes, we will highlight things like that as well. So for instance, we do have, I mentioned, we have a PMO that handles our gate process. We call it an IPMT process, but it's basically a gate process. And as we expand that, we'll often use these monthly sessions to sort of highlight something new or something we've gotten a lot of questions on. We recently added to our competitive analysis suite of tools, the Francis Fry competitive analysis model. And so we got some questions on that. We gave a little overview in one of these sessions.
Great. What a great way to share information. So the key elements of that for your product management community so far were the annual summit you've started, just had the first one, and then these monthly web meetings, interactions. I just want to make sure I'm not leaving out any big pieces. Anything else that you're using to help structure this council?
Yeah, we also have periodically, we bring in external speakers, external experts to do, we call them Skill Builder webinars. And so we'll highlight those. We'll have those as well. So that's another piece. And then we have built an internal Yammer site for our PM community, trying to make it very easy for one PM to just ask a quick question out to the PM community. And so we have that as well. So you put all those pieces together and it sort of comprises our product management council initiative from I'm a PM, what do I see out of the program?
I would expect, given this focus with the council coming to life, you know, last summer, and now that you've had your half-day summit and then this full two-day summit and then what you're doing with the monthly different meetings, and that Yammer community site, I would think is invaluable to product managers. I would expect overall that the product managers are feeling a whole lot more valued in the organization. I would think this would be really empowering to people related to product management. Are you hearing anything about that?
Yeah, we are hearing that. I mean, we get two kinds of feedback. Some people feel like, you know, they just love getting the reminders about things they should be doing and sort of the skill builder aspects. But we also get, it was so great to hear that all of our executives are supporting us. And sometimes even to hear that all the executives are hearing from these outside experts, the value of product management, how important it is. So all of that, I think, helps to build. We've gotten a very good positive response in general to our initiative here.
I think that's great. And you mentioned executives. And in most organizations, and I could put some benchmarks on this, but in most organizations, our executive team isn't real aware of what actually goes on in product management. And yet, when you look at the surveys, you know, the numbers for is innovation important to us, you know, CEOs and executive teams will always say yes, you know, top of the list. But when it comes to actual action on it, it's actually much lower. And I think a lot of that is simply because many executives don't grow up through product management ranks. You know, Procter & Gamble is a good exception, you know, they always do, but most executives don't have that background and experience. And I expect just because of these activities that you've put in place, you're also helping the executive team have better insights into what product management's about.
Well, exactly. And it's always been a mystery to me that product management doesn't naturally get more airtime in most companies. It's a delight to be at Pitney, where it actually is seen as a critical success factor. But in a lot of companies, that is not such the case. And I actually think it's because part of it is because product management is so distributed throughout. There's no single place where you see product management. They're so diffusely distributed that it's harder for executives to see that as a separate function, as a separate entity.
Glad all these things are in place. I want to ask a slightly different question when we may end up exactly the same place where we just talked about. But going back to where you started, and this is for listeners that might be thinking about, how do we put more emphasis on our product management capabilities as an organization? So back when you started in this role, what were kind of those first tasks that you did, the first objectives that you said you wanted to tackle and come about as part of the council?
Right. Well, the first thing we had to do is get kind of crisp on what we wanted to focus on. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you could take a product management council. So we had to dig in a little bit and say, what do we see as our vision for this thing? Mm-hmm. And we did end up, settling on, we really wanted to build and enhance the product management capability within the company so that product management could have a greater business impact. And we had to figure out what we're not. So, for instance, we don't see ourselves as a governance board.
Okay.
Things don't pop up to us and we say, oh, you shall use this tool or this process. So we're much more focused on enhancing our product management effectiveness and business impact. So that was the first thing we had to get clear is exactly what do we feel like we want to focus on? Mm-hmm. And then as tactical as it seems, kind of the second thing we had to do is figure out who are the members of the community. It wasn't as obvious as you might think because, again, our product managers live where the products live. So they are not only distributed across the BUs, but they're in the lines of business within the BUs. And so we had to go about constructing, who are the members of the community? And that kind of evolves even now as people hear about what we're doing, more related stakeholders want to get involved. But we had at least start off with that first list.
Right.
And so that was a piece we had to do. And then, of course, once we knew who we were going to speak to, then we introduced the whole concept to the community in terms of a kickoff call to share the vision, to share the pieces of the program. And then we started up with our monthly cadence of our monthly meetings.
Those are good concrete steps for listeners interested in this sort of thing, right? So the vision, and I like that you include what you are not, right? What's the focus for our organization as this council? And then there's often assumptions about what that also might include, and being explicit about what we're not, I think, is really helpful. And then identifying who are the members. And I don't know if Pitney Bowes, this was in many organizations, product managers go by lots of different titles, right? Okay. And it depends on the organization entirely, even if we have product managers, or is that really lying on project managers or business analysts or, different places this shows up. So who's involved? And then just getting that vision out and starting the momentum of the monthly meetings. Very good. So we're not quite a year into this yet. Do you have any success stories that have come out of the council's work?
Yes, I'd say so, although it kind of evolves how you measure success. And we've had to kind of take baby steps as we go along. Mm-hmm. So the first way we tried to see if it's successful, all of our activities, by the way, are voluntary. So we're not mandating that people must participate. If they mm-hmm. find it helpful, then they're going to show up. And if they don't find it helpful, then they probably won't show up.
Sure.
So our first cut at this was, are people showing up to the meetings? And we do see that well over 95% of our community has shown up to at least one of our activities, and most of them show up to many of them.
Okay.
So that was our first cut of, are we hitting the mark? The second thing we looked at was in every event, after every event, even just a 1-hour webinar, we always ask a quick polling question. How useful do you find this activity? And depending on the activity, because we have a bunch of them, actually, we see it range from about the low 80% to a high of about 97% of the attendees will say it was very useful or useful. And so that's another measure that we're hitting the mark. We're providing information and content and opportunities that the attendees are finding useful.
Those are good metrics.
Yeah. Well, now we want to move to another phase where we want to see how effectively we're changing behavior. Mm-hmm. So that's a little harder to measure. But we know if we're going to have a greater impact next year, this year than last year, we're going to have to do things differently this year than we did last year. So we just had the summit last week. And one of the questions in the post-event survey is, how likely are you to do something differently as a result of what you've learned at the event? Now, the survey is still open and the results are preliminary. But we are seeing like 95% of the responders saying they are either very likely or likely to do something differently. Mm-hmm. And so that's the next measure of, are we having an impact? I mean, I wholeheartedly believe that if PMs increase their skills, that is going to flow to better products, better pipeline, better revenue. But there's a stepwise process to see if we're getting there.
Right.
You just can't go from having a summit and connect the dots to, you know, $25 million of additional revenue because we had that summit. And so these are the ways we're kind of taking steps to see, you know, are we having an impact?
And I'm sure there's some desire by, you know, any executive team that would be looking at doing a council like this to figure out metrics for, well, where does this come in terms of revenue, right? You know, I fully expect just the increased collaboration and the knowledge that people are learning over time will make that happen. But you can't discount the value of that increased collaboration. And there may be stories that are really hard to kind of dissect, you know, how a product came to life just because people who weren't used to talking to each other started talking to each other. Mm-hmm. And those ideas that would never have happened that are now happening.
Well, exactly. And I will go out to the community this year because this is our next initiative to ask them to capture those when they identify that it's happening. So I will get, I hope I will get actual case studies where, you know, we did create this feature, enhance this value, mm-hmm. talk to this customer, and it resulted in some revenue because I believe they will be there.
Yep.
Even though it'll be tricky to measure, but when we can, that will be a very powerful story or set of stories and justification for continuing the program.
I'm very excited to hear about all this. I would think as a product manager in a company as old as Pitney Bowes, like I said, you know, 90 years, which has probably a traditional kind of image, that this has brought a new life into what it means to be a product manager in that organization, right? And a desire to really be innovative and bringing new value to customers. I would be excited as a product manager to have the opportunity to interact with other product managers and people in my space in new ways that I haven't had before. You know, that's just really what I'm getting to is too often inside organizations, product managers tend to be kind of siloed individual. We're really cross-functional, but we don't tend to bump into other product managers a lot, right? And it can kind of feel lonely in that sense. Even though we're so cross-functional. So I'm sure there's everyday innovators listening that are in organizations that would like to tap into some aspect of this, you know, even if it's just starting with a once a month, you know, webinar, lunch and learn sort of thing, to start building some collaboration, maybe setting up that Yammer or a Slack site or something for sharing questions and getting some feedback. So since you've been doing this, let's ask you for some advice to share for listeners on steps to maybe what first to think about and steps to get started with something like this.
Well, I would say as soon as a product manager, you can actually list off the top of your head the other product managers in the organization, then that's a good signal that you'll get some value out of creating this kind of initiative. And it doesn't have to be as formal as we have at Pitney. Kind of what you said, you can just reach out to one of your product managers that you know in another business unit or another group and say, hey, I'm thinking of starting up maybe a monthly meeting where we talk about issues that we're facing as product managers. Mm-hmm. If you can get a handful of those folks interested, you can make it pretty lightweight on yourself if you say, you know, you take two meetings a year, you take two meetings a year, you take two meetings a year, and together we'll start up this monthly meeting and see if you get traction.
Yep.
I think you will get traction. I mean, my experience is, like I said, everything we do here is voluntary in terms of the product managers are not forced to show up at any of these. But there is a thirst to know what are the other product managers doing, to share information across it. So you'll probably get pretty good uptake.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good place to start.
And then if you do start a program, I would encourage you after you get a little bit of traction, find yourself an executive sponsor. The executives... Actually, I think you'll find pretty good reception to the idea because once you explain what you're trying to do, you know, we're trying to have a greater business impact and we think product management is a key function to do that. And just explain, product management is right there between the technology, the customer, and the business case. And so we're very uniquely positioned to have a huge impact. You know, the return you get on the investment is out of all proportion, I think, to the investment because of where product management sits. And you couch it in that way, and executives tend to want to listen. Mm-hmm. And if you've already gotten a little bit of traction, you just get a huge benefit. So I would say, get a little traction, find a friendly executive, say, can we get on your calendar once a quarter? We want to talk about what we're doing here. And I think you'll really get the ball rolling. You can do this from the ground up. Of course, we could. It's wonderful when you get it from the top down and you can bring it all together. But I believe, you can definitely start an initiative here, grassroots.
That's good advice. And I like that you specified how to use that executive sponsor, right? In the beginning, maybe it's just, let's meet once a quarter and we'll talk about what we've been doing, right? And kind of build up that rapport and support over time. And I want to piggyback on the suggestion to do, get that meeting together once a month or whatever works and explore some topics. And just for anyone listening, I would be glad to be a virtual guest and share a product management framework and help out any listeners to get started with that sort of thing too. So, and obviously for Pitney Bowes too. Sometimes it's just hard to get started, but there's a lot of us that are glad to help companies, have those kind of discussions. I just find it fun, right? I always learn about what companies are doing and get to do what I love, which is help people with product management. Thank you for sharing some of those tips on getting started. I always ask guests about an innovation quote, as you know, since you listened to the podcast. What quote did you bring? And just give us some context for why you like that one.
Yeah, my quote is from Rich Mironov. I'm sure you probably know Rich. He's a well-known thought leader in product management. He's been around product management for a long time. And one of the things he says that always resonates with me is there's nothing more wasteful than brilliantly engineering a product that doesn't sell. And I love it because it keeps us in balance. I mean, as product managers, we love our products. We love to love our products, and we think they're so cool. And we can get kind of distracted in the cool product part and sometimes not focus as much on, does it sell? Why are we building this really cool product?
Right.
And he very succinctly keeps that all in balance. So I always think of that expression. It stays with me.
Yeah, I like that one from Rich. And there's a similar one from Ash Mariah that did Scaling Lean. And before that was, I'm Brian and Blake, Building Lean in the Lean Startup Series, which is simply, don't build products no one wants, right? And
right.
Love that idea. And we're both engineers by background. And I think more times than not, I'll speak for myself, engineers can get enamored with the solution. Right, that we're building and kind of lose track over time of what the actual problem is we're solving. So
exactly.
Thank you for sharing that quote with us. And just in terms of wrap up here, what do you want to leave listeners with for key points here?
Well, for me, this would be a huge win if some of your listeners actually do start up some kind of initiative, whether it's just that monthly meeting or it builds into a product management council like we have. I believe in this initiative. I believe in product management. And if this inspires some companies to do some of that in their organization, then this is a super win.
I think it's great advice. And as you shared before, this doesn't have to be at the full scale of a council, right? This is just, let's start collaborating and talking about product management.
Exactly.
Felicia, I so appreciate your time. And I thank you for listening to this podcast and more so today for being a guest of this podcast. And I wish you all the best there with what you're doing for product management at Pitney Bowes.
Well, thank you so much. It's been great.
Thanks for listening. Please tell other product managers and innovators about this podcast. I make that easy. Just go to the show notes for the summary of the discussion with Felicia, and you'll find links at the top of the page to share on your favorite social media sites. And those show notes are at theeverydayinnovator.com/117. Keep innovating.
Thank you for listening to The Everyday Innovator, which teaches product managers to become product masters. For more resources, please visit our blog at theeverydayinnovator.com.